Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
As a pastor, in fact, the longer that I pastor, the more I look forward to the new year and to fresh starts, because I've recognized that sometimes people just need an excuse to start over. And what I love about the God that we serve is he is the God of new beginnings. He restores things. He puts things back together. I like to say it this way. He's not the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. Because how many of you guys have needed more than two? I know that I have, right? So I love the fact that his mercy is new every morning. But I think that sometimes we just need an excuse to say, you know what? I'm just going to draw a line and I'm going to step over it and leave everything behind me, I'm gonna start fresh. And really, the new year gives us the opportunity to do that. I wanna point back for a minute, if you don't mind, to the video that you just saw. And that's the series, it's called Uphill Habits. And that's the series that we're gonna kick off next Sunday morning. So we're gonna start the year there. And I only bring that up to say this, that some of us are resolution type people. How many of you guys do the resolution thing? Like every year you're saying, yes, I've got resolutions. How many of you guys are just anti, I don't do resolutions? Okay, cool. Okay, good. Here's what I know is that most oftentimes, resolutions fail. In fact, statistics prove that most people's New Year's resolutions are not even still in practice by the time Valentine's Day comes. So in 6 weeks, we've kind of gone backward and back in, just fallen into old ruts, gone back to old ways. So I want to promote, rather than resolutions, that we focus our attention on new habits. And you're like, well, what's the difference? It's very much different that I'm gonna say. In fact, as I've been pastoring over these last several years and just following great leaders and trying to grow in my faith and grow in my personal development and all those things, one of the things that I've learned is that each year I like to implement, as best of my ability, just a new habit. And I'll just sort of target something that, like, man, this is something that I'm gonna do this year, whether it's with my schedule or reading books or just whatever. And this is something I'm gonna do, journaling or whatever it may be, that this will be the habit that this year I'm gonna focus and work to become a part of my life. And that's what I wanna encourage you to do this year. And in this new series, Uphill Habits, we're gonna talk about four different habits that we're gonna try to implement into our lives that'll help us to have sustained growth in our journey of faith. Does that sound exciting to you? I'm growing with you and I can't wait to get involved. But here's what I wanna say, and here's why I bring it up. I want you to invite people to join you next week. I want to invite you to be an inviter. Do you think that you can do that? Here's the reason why. This is an opportunity where people decide, you know what, I'm gonna eat better this year. I'm gonna get in the gym this year. I'm gonna this year or that this year. But one of the things that people say is, I'm gonna start going to church this year. I mean, this is like a thing. Like that people say, yeah, you know what? I'm actually gonna do it. I'm actually gonna make the jump. I'm gonna start going. And again, resolutions tend to fade away. But what I wanna encourage you to do is to be an inviter, and I wanna take it another step. Can I do that? Can I do that? Here's what I wanna say. Listen to me very carefully. You ready? If your heart and your life has not been changed by God in this church, I don't want you to invite anybody. I don't want you to bring anybody. I just want you to continue to come until God starts to do something great in your own heart, okay? But if you're here and you say, man, God is doing something great in my life and my heart is changing because of what God is doing in me, in my church, you're the ones that I want to invite to become inviters. And here's why. Because if you can articulate an invitation with some genuine life change of your own, then it's more than just an invitation to church. Like, just come to my church. I don't think people want to just come to your church, but I do think people want to come be a part of something where they can genuinely connect to a living God that can change their life. And there's just something more powerful when you can say, God is doing something amazing in me. I can't even quite understand or even explain it, but God is changing my heart. And I just would love to invite you to come to the place where God is doing that through, or maybe just one of the places that God is doing that through, but I wanna encourage you to bring some people next week. Will you join me in the effort to invite people? Because listen, I would love for 2018 to be the year that your unsaved family members come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ next year, or your neighbor that just doesn't buy into the whole religious thing, understands that there's a God in heaven who loves them and died on the cross for their sins and wants to make a way for them to have an authentic relationship with a living God. This is my hope for 2018. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, yeah, but Pastor, this place fills up pretty full, and sometimes it's hard to even find a seat in here. I don't want to invite anybody in. I got good news for you. You ready? I got good news. Next door, especially if you checked your child into a kid's room this morning. If I do that, you check them in. They're in some other room across the campus. In the new year, we are already in the building next door. We're already under construction, completely renovating that building and making changes. In fact, what we're doing over there is we're going to move all of our kids, all of the ministry for children into that building in the new year. And the process has already begun. What that's going to do for us here is these walls right behind you, these little bump out sections in the auditorium, is we're going to tear those walls down and we're going to expand this auditorium all the way to the back where you enter the auditorium each Sunday morning. We've got new chairs being ordered. Listen, we're getting rid of pink chairs forever. Come on, somebody. Woo! All right. So, we got new chairs on the way. We've got a process. Once we are done next door and we're ready to move kids in over there, we will start construction on this building over here. And the timeline for that is ASAP, like as soon as possible. So we are making room for more people. People continue to come. They continue to come back. So we are going to continue to reach them. And we're going to do everything in our power to make room, make new services, find new facilities. I don't know what all the answers are yet, but we're going to do everything we can to make room for people because God's called us to reach them with the life-giving message of Jesus. Amen, everybody? Amen. All right. So I want to ask you parents, though, if you would just be patient with us, please, because if your child comes out today and they got a little dust on them, we cleaned that place as best we could, but we are under construction over there, so please forgive us and be patient with our mess, so we can make those facilities excellent for your children to be in. And then here's another thing I want to say, just for those of you, particularly moms, dads, that do have kids, here's what we recognize here at Church on the Rock, is that when you put your children in a different building, you're like, that doesn't sound so awesome, right? I know some of you are thinking it, like, I don't know, Pastor, I'm not all too comfortable with that. In the new year, once we make that adjustment and we have all our children over there, because we care about your children's safety and your peace of mind, there will be a St. John's County Sheriff's deputy in that building at all times. While your children are in there, he will have a taser and a sidearm and a radio, everybody. And because we value the safety of your children. And I just want moms and dads to know that when they put their children in a room, they're safe and they're cared for. And we have emergency policies in place. And we know what we're going to do if something goes wrong or if some crazy goes in there. Watch out. We got the hired guns ready for us. Fair enough. I just want you to know that. And then we'll be making room, knocking some walls out so that you can invite, and we can see more and more people's lives changed for the glory of God. Can I get somebody to just say amen? You guys ready to get into God's word this morning? You want to get going? I'm excited. I've got kind of a unique opportunity this morning because I love to teach in series context. If you've been around here, you probably get that. I like to teach sermons in groups. So we'll do anywhere from 4 to 6 week type, or really less, 3 to 6 week type series where we'll put them together and package them. And I do that on purpose, actually, because for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is because I think it's easier for people to just retain information if we stay in a theme longer. So I like hanging out in a topic or an idea. And my big goal, I mean, I'll just give you one of my secrets. Honestly, my big goal in those series concepts is if in 4 Sundays you take one thing that can have an impact on your heart, then I think we're winning. I think we're doing something right, because what we know is that, man, you're here for an hour a week and then you walk out of here and you're just hit in the face with the busyness of life, right? And culture and the world as we know it. And it's easy to lose the content that you get here. So our heart is just that, man, let's just keep it consistent and maybe they can hold on to a nugget and apply that to their life, because some growth is better than none at all. Isn't that right? Yeah, amen. But today I've got a unique opportunity because I'm going to preach what I call a standalone. And what that means is, like, there's no series. This won't continue. Although I do think it sort of props us up for where we're going next month. But I want to get started here. Right there in your notes, if you open up your worship guide, you'll have all the scriptures that I'm going to show on the screen with you. But in the book of Isaiah, this is where I want to start today. This is God himself speaking a prophetic word, which means it's a word about something that is to come. And he's speaking it through the prophet Isaiah. And he says this. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. How many of you guys want a new thing to go on in your life? It's like 2017, goodbye. 2018, God bless you. I'm so glad you're here. Some of us just cannot wait. Man, God, I want a new thing to take place in my heart and in my life. And this is what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And I'm going to get to this question here in just a moment. But he says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands. And I just believe that there's got to be people in this room who your journey of faith or your life's condition right now or your spiritual walk or whatever feels more like a wilderness and a wasteland than it does anything else. And I just want to kind of declare God's word over you and say that he is the God that makes rivers and streams in the driest and most parched places. And I believe he will do it in your life. I believe he'll do it in your life. And in the context of this scripture, what's being spoken here is being spoken to the Israelites. It's being spoken to them in a time when they were being held captive in Babylon. It's known as the Babylonian captivity. So the Israelite people have been enslaved for years. This was a 70-year period in their history. And this prophetic word comes from Isaiah the prophet, and he's saying, hey, I'm gonna do something new. And I just want you to get your mind in the context of people who have been in slavery, who were born into slavery, their parents were slaves, that's all they really know, it's all they really understand. And you can imagine that this kind of message has gotta be pretty exciting, right? So like all the bondage that you've known for your whole life and all the struggles that you have and all the stuff you've been through, I'm gonna do something new, God is saying. And if you can just imagine, they're probably like, that sounds really, really good. But I want to put it in the context for you today, because you and I have this unique advantage that these people did not have. And the advantage that we have is that we were born into a life and into a culture that is after Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection from the grave, which gives us this remarkable and amazing opportunity. And really, that's being spoken of right here in this context, that I'm gonna do something new. It's like, I don't even know if you can understand it, but it's gonna create some things that you've never had the opportunity to see before. And what I wanna say to us this morning, all right, I'm gonna preach to me because I always need it. What I wanna say to us this morning is this, that he's saying, hey, I'm doing a new thing. But then he poses this question, do you perceive it? Like, wait. Do you really understand? Honestly, feel like this question is more appropriate for us than it even was for them. Because I think that oftentimes we take for granted what we have. And let's be honest, like if you don't know what it's like to live prior to Christ, right? And you're taking it for granted, well, okay. Like, it's understandable because you don't know better. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you don't know what you don't know, but we have this incredible opportunity where we get to enter into a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and inside of us comes his very spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says takes up his residency within us. He is our helper. He is our counselor. He is there for us. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go when he ascended from the earth into heaven. And he said, the reason it's better is because I'm going to give you this helper. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And we have this. We have this advantage as Christians in this culture, in this time of life, that we have this understanding and this benefit of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I think. I'm going to make a bold statement that I think far too many of us in our context of life are saying, God, yes, I want you to do a new thing. I want you to do it. I can't wait for you to do something in me because I don't like what I'm getting. God, I just want you to do it. And I think God is asking a question, do you not perceive it? Because I think many of us are on our knees looking at God saying, God, I can't wait for you to do a new thing. And I think God's saying back to us, I can't wait for you to do a new thing. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, and I want to use to help teach it. I want to use an Old Testament story from the book of Exodus, and I want to take you on a little bit of a journey. And what I'm going to do today, if you've been around here, you know that I usually kind of like to teach something, and then I like to try to give you some application. Like, all right, this is how it can apply to your everyday life. But I'm going to start with application right out of the gate. I'm going to start feeding you application, how it can apply to your life, and I think that you have to fit it to your world. Does that make sense? So I can't tell you all the details. I'm just gonna give you the principal points, and I think you have to actually apply it to your life as you live it. And then the way I want to finish today is I want to show you promises from the Bible that if you will implement these principles in your life, I'm going to show you promises from God's word that we all can receive as a benefit in our journey of faith. Fair enough? Fair enough. So follow me to the book of Exodus chapter 33. I love this story. It's probably one of my favorite Bible stories. And the Bible says this, that Moses, he took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. And so it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. It's pretty cool, huh? It's pretty awesome. Can you imagine having a conversation with God? I actually think it's possible. And I actually think it's possible for every single one of you. And I think that God wants to speak into your life. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about that. So I want to. In fact, I'm going to have you just write something. First thing I want you to write, we're going to start writing early, and then I'm going to kind of teach behind the points. But number one, if you're looking for a new beginning, a fresh start, God, I need a do-over, a clean slate, give me a new year, do a new thing in me, then I think he's asking the question, do you perceive it? Will you do a new thing? Will you do something different? And first, I want to encourage you this year to purpose to honor God. Like, I think too many of us are waiting on God to do things that we can do for ourselves. And I know that this is heavy preaching, and I want you to understand that I am not going to stand here on this platform and act like you can earn right standing with God. Only Jesus can give us right standing with God. But we are engaged in a relationship, and we have to do our part. Maybe you've heard this saying before, pray as if everything depends on God, work as if everything depends on you. You ever heard that said? I think there's some truth in that. I think there's some strong truth in that. But I think that there's got to come a point in our hearts and in our lives where we just make some decisions that, you know what? I'm going to purpose inside of my heart that I'm going to honor God. I'm actually going to make sure that I'm doing the things that God would have me do. I'm going to push some things away. I'm going to pull some things in. I'm going to align my life. I'm going to create a schedule or a calendar or whatever it may be. But I'm going to purpose my mind. I'm going to purpose my heart that I will pursue God, that I will follow God, that I will be what he's calling me to be. And notice in Exodus. Notice right here in verse 7 of chapter 33, all I want to do is point out one thing, that Moses took his tent and he pitched it. Like, that doesn't mean, like, he didn't throw it out. He put it up. Yeah, you tracking? He just put it up. But what I want you to notice is the intentionality, because Moses was in a season where he needed to hear from God. He was desperate to hear from God. And he said, God, I need you to go where I'm going. I need you to lead me in every step. I need you to take me to a new level, and I've got to hear from you. And I just want you to recognize that Moses had some purpose. And he said, God, I've got to hear from you, and I want you to lead me where I'm going. So I'm going to take a tent and I'm going to put it up, and I'm going to call it the place where I meet you. And I'm going to go inside of this tent, and this will be the place that I separate from everything else. And I position myself to receive, Father, what you have for me. He had some purpose inside of his heart. And I just think that every one of us in the new year need that kind of purpose to say, God, I'm going to have a place with you and a time for you so that you can do in me what you want to do inside of me. Come on. One more example from the Bible is Daniel, and I pulled this one out only because it just said my point, but the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart. He made a decision, and he wasn't led by how he felt about it I'm too busy right now. Like, he wasn't steered that way. The Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with wine that he drank or any other thing. The Bible says that there was purpose inside of his heart. And the Bible really here is talking about a time when Daniel went on a very strict diet. We get from this, if you've ever heard of the Daniel fast, this is exactly where it comes from, because Daniel in this context had separated himself in a place where he said, you know what? I'm not going to take what's available to me because I don't want to dishonor my God. And with honor in his heart, he had purpose. And he said, I'm going to purpose not to do anything that would bring shame on me or dishonor the Lord. So he positioned himself for God to do in him what only God can do in him. And I want to plug something right here, okay? Here it comes. Like, I don't want you to feel like I snuck it out. I'm just going to tell you, I'm bringing it out, that 7 days from today, on January the 7th, our church will do again what it has done for year after year after year, and we will enter into a corporate time of prayer and fasting. And no one ever amens that, ever, ever. They're always like, oh, jeez, right? And I get it. Like, I get it. But every year we start our year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we do it on purpose. We do it on purpose, and we do it with purpose. And just this week, I was watching kind of one of my hero pastors. Honestly, I've probably learned more from him as a leader than any other leader in the world. And his name's Chris Hodges, and he pastors a church out in Birmingham, Alabama. And just an amazing leader, just remarkable. And this past week, I was just watching him preach, and he was telling a story. And he was telling a story that I'd never heard before, which honestly surprised me because I feel like I've heard them all, you know. But he's telling this story, and I've heard this story many times of how he started his church, but I never heard the story before the story. And he talked about how before he was a senior pastor of a church, before he planted Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, he was on staff at a church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he was talking about how every single January, their church would start the year with 21 days of corporate prayer and fasting. And he said, right in the message, he admittedly said that every year I would participate, but I would participate on a minimal level with little to no sacrifice at all. Quite frankly, I was just going through the motions. Just doing it to do it. I was a staff member, kind of had to, you know, whatever. And I was just going through the motions. And he said until one year, he just got into a place where he just was like, man, this isn't working. God, I need something new from you. I need to hear from you. I've got to set myself apart from you. And that next January, he went 21 days water only. Yeah, it's pretty tough. Like, that's almost Jesus stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's a long time. And he said it was on day 17 that he had what the Bible would call an open vision. And he's standing on the platform of his church, and he said, and what I saw in that vision is what I'm standing here seeing today. He said, I saw thousands of people, and I saw these like balcony-type sloped stadium seats in the back. And he said, I could see then through an open vision what I'm actually seeing with my eyes today. And that's when God birthed inside of his heart the call to plant a church in a different city. And he now leads and pastors one of the most influential churches probably in the world today. It's remarkable and it's amazing. And I could go on and on and on how much I have benefited as a leader and as a pastor from his leadership. And you have no idea how much you've benefited from his leadership too, because I beg, borrow, and steal everything I can. Amen. But he said I could, all right. But you know, when I heard his story, it made me think back to my fasting story. And if you've heard the story already, forgive me. But I thought back to some years ago when my sister and my brother-in-law came over to our house, and they said, "Hey, Josh and Lauren is my wife, and hey, we would love to challenge you guys this coming January to do a fast. We did it last year, and what God did in our hearts was just so amazing. We'd just love to challenge you to consider doing it." And I'm just going to tell you right now that I wrote it off instantly. Like, I didn't say that out loud. That's rude. But in my heart, I wrote it off. And I'm like, I'm not doing it, you know, or whatever. And but I was nice, you know, and all that. And then a couple of days later, my wife, you know, because she's so spiritual and all that, comes to me and she's like, "Hey, listen, I just want you to know, like, whether you do this fast or not, I've been praying about it and thinking about it, and I'm gonna go ahead and do it." And I'm like, "Great," you know. She said, "I'm gonna do 21 days Daniel fast," is what she said. And I'm like, "Ugh," you know, like, I'm not gonna sit around and have hamburgers while she's having hummus. It's just, that's not right. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, by the way, why anybody would ever eat hummus for any reason. It's no good. Come on now. I mean, if you're dying, I get it. That makes sense. Otherwise, I'm not really sure. But listen to me. What I did was this, is honestly, I did it reluctantly, against the will of my flesh, I really did it because she was doing it. But I had to admit some things. And one of the things that I had to admit to my own heart was, I know there's more and I'm not experiencing it. Like, I've walked in more with God than what I'm walking in now. And the question, Josh, do you even perceive it? Like, God, I want you to do a new thing. And I think God was saying, well, I want you to do a new thing. Because if you want me to do a new thing, you do a new thing. And I went into that 21 days and I got on my knees in a time of prayer and I told God, I said, God, I will honor you in this. I don't want to do it, but I know there's more and I won't cheat. And I went into 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I did a Daniel fast for 21 days. And here's what I want to tell you, that I'm convinced that if I hadn't accepted the challenge from my brothers and my sisters in Christ, if I hadn't stepped up to meet the standard that my wife was setting, which is backwards in the home, by the way. We'll talk about that in February. Come back for that. I'm convinced that if I hadn't done those 21 days, that I would not be your pastor today. I'm sure of it. Because what God did in me, in those 21 days, I haven't gotten over, and I don't plan to, quite frankly, because God birthed something inside of me that made me long to serve again, long to be in ministry again, long to respond to the call of God that was on my life. And I didn't know what it looked like or what he wanted. I just said, God, I'll do anything for you, anything. I'll give you anything you want. Just give me a shot and I'll take it. And God opened the door later that year for me to step into the leadership of Church on the Rock. And I'm convinced that if not for those 21 days, I know I wouldn't be here. I'm not sure if you would be here. I'm really not. And it all started with some purpose in my heart that God, I'm gonna honor you and I'm gonna step up my game. And then point number two, write this down with me. I made a decision that I was gonna do something different. If I wanna get something different, it was time for me to do something different. And I couldn't keep saying, God, give me a new chance. God, give me a new start. God, bless me. God, give. God, this. I think God was asking the question, Josh, do you not perceive it? Do you not even perceive what it is that I'm trying to do in you? Because the promise is already there. The availability of my spirit is already there. You're a new covenant believer. You are living in a world that has Jesus available and the Holy Spirit inside of you. Do something different. Stop asking me to do for you what you can do for yourself. And I had to go into a season of my life where I just said, you know what? I want something different. Therefore, I'm going to do something different. Check it out in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 7. Moses took his tent and he pitched it, I want you to notice, outside of the camp, far outside of the camp, the Bible says. And some of us in this room, we have to be honest with ourselves enough to admit that if I want to get a different result in my spiritual condition, I've got to get outside of the normal that I'm living in right now. If I want something different, then I must do something different. I need to get outside of the normal. I need to separate from some things, because some people would say, why would you ever fast? Like, why would you ever do that? I can't imagine how that will help you, because there's something amazing, by the way, when we purpose in our hearts to sacrifice before the Lord what he will do in that sacrifice. It is remarkable and it is amazing. In the Old Testament, it talks about the sacrifices that would be placed on the altar, and that burning flesh, the Bible says, was a sweet aroma into the nostrils of the Lord. And I believe, see, we don't have to sacrifice. Like, there's no place for you to kill a ram here. You know what I'm saying? And don't worry, we're not building one either, okay? Like, we don't have to do that, because Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice for us once and for all. That's just another reason why he is the most significant being in the history of mankind, okay? Just one more thing to point to. But here's the thing, when we put our flesh on that altar and we sacrifice our will, our desires, our wants, when we lay those things on the altar, there's something refreshing to the nostrils of the Father that says, yes, Yes, I love that sacrifice. I love that. Let me speak to you, because I'm gonna tell you what fasting does is it just removes distractions and gives you just this, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's just like this reception. It's like the antennas go higher and all of a sudden the reception gets clearer. And all of a sudden it's like, God, yes, like I'm receiving from you and I'm intaking from you in a new way, because he's saying, yeah. It's because you're putting that flesh on the altar. Let me feed your spirit. I wanna bless you and strengthen you and put into you, because listen to me. This is where the supernatural comes from. Because none of us can do what God's placed in our heart to do without his power. None of us. One more scripture. Look one more time with me. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Check it out. Come out from among them and be separate. Be different. Like if you want it different, do something different. Listen, be different. When I did my little fast that year, I was still doing construction work, working a full-time job. And the guy that I was working with and the crew that I was around, like you couldn't hide it. You know what I mean? Like my lunchbox looked ridiculous every day. I'm pulling out the weirdest stuff to eat. And I'm like, what is that? Or, you know, they'd offer me something. And of course I couldn't eat it, because if it tastes good, you're not allowed to have it in a Daniel fast, you know? And I'm like, no, I can't have it. Or, hey, we're going out to lunch. What are you going to do? I'm going to sit over there on that bucket and eat this hummus, because it's day 19. I'm freaking out. You know what I'm saying? Right? I mean, it was tough, man. It was tough. And I remember getting teased, and I remember getting picked on. And the guy that I worked with every day, he wasn't very like church oriented or spiritual, and he didn't understand. So he didn't call it my fast. He called it my quick. And there was nothing quick about it. It was 21 days long. I just want you to know it's difficult. But here's what I want to say to you, that at that time it was a little tough and it was a little embarrassing, and I got picked on a little bit and made fun of, and what's in your lunchbox today, Josh, or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. Today, I'm okay to be different, because the reward God gave me in those 21 days far outweighs the sacrifices I paid in those 21 days. And every year since then that I have sacrificed before the Lord for 21 days and said, God, I purpose to set myself apart from you because I want to be separate and I want to be different. Every single time, the benefits outweigh the sacrifice. Every single time. And by the way, every single year, my flesh tries to talk me out of it. Like, come on, you need to do this again. I mean, isn't there a different way to inspire people? Can't you do something else? Like, my body is like hating it, and it's gonna hate it the whole time. But you wanna know something? It's purposed. It's a purpose. No, I've seen what God can do, and I want more of that. And I'm okay to be different. Because listen, this idea, can I tell you something, Christians that are in the room? This idea of fit in with the world, to reach the world, that's not working, because that's not who we're called to be. Let me tell you what changes the world is authenticity. All right, and be okay to be separate, because that's what God called us to be. And be okay to be picked on and made fun of, and can I say this so loosely? Persecuted for your faith. Like, let's just be different. Let's be what God's called us to be and be okay with it, because when the world's day of trouble comes, they're gonna come to us and say, I don't know what it is about you, but can I talk to you? Well, there's something stable about you. I don't understand how you're happy all the time, or whatever the case may be, because this is who God's called us to be. Come on, amen, amen. So I'm encouraging us, church, let's purpose to honor God, right? And then let's do something different. Some of you need to do something different. Number three, I want to encourage you to connect with the family. Connect with the family. When I say family here, I'm talking about the family of God, like the body of Christ, because he's called us to function like that. We're not designed to do anything on our own. We're designed to do everything as a team. And I'm encouraging you, do it in this season with your church family. There's something powerful about it. In fact, every year I set our fasting calendar and our fasting schedule based on churches worldwide. So we are partnering with churches across the world, and we will be fasting for 21 days simultaneously as churches across the globe will be fasting simultaneously. And I do that on purpose, with intention, because I want to be a part of the family. Like, I want to model for you what I'm asking you to walk in. And I want us to do this. I want God to hear the cry of his people as clearly as possible. And I just want to jump on the bandwagon and support the cause, be a part of the family. And I'm encouraging some of you, like for some of you, doing something different is this. Because you've never done anything with the family. I'm going to ask you this question next week, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a little sneak peek. But let me ask you this question. What would your life look like if next year you went to church 52 times? That's how many weeks are in a year, just by the way. Like every week. Like every week, what would your life look like? What would your life look like if you actually took the step and connected to a small group and put yourself in a position where you can actually become a little bit more vulnerable than you've ever allowed yourself to be and receive the help that you know you desperately need? And then how about this one? Offer the help that someone else needs from you. Because we all have something to give and we all have desperate needs to receive. And for some of us, this could be a great kickstart for you to actually say, you know what? I'm gonna do it with the family because God's called me to do it with the family. And I'll show you that in God's word. I love this from Exodus. I'm bouncing back. I'm just picking apart our scripture. But the Bible says, so it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose. Everybody was involved. It wasn't like Moses did this and said, hey, I'll get back with you guys. Moses got everybody involved in this process. And in the verse prior to this, the Bible says when they wanted to meet with the Lord, they also went out of the camp into that tent. And each man stood at his door and watched. I mean, they were following their leader, but everybody was involved. The next verse, I'm gonna show you one more from the New Testament. Romans 12:5. So we, right, the group, us, though many, are one body in Christ. And individually members of one another. I'm just telling you. I mean, you can give me your best pitch and your best argument. You were designed to work with others. I absolutely need you, and you absolutely need us. None of us can do it on our own. We're not designed that way. It's not how God made us to be. I want to encourage you to get connected to the family. Be a part of something that's bigger than you. Do something different. Purpose. To honor God. All right, let's go back to Exodus, and then I want to set up as I close. I want to show you the promises that God is giving to us. Exodus 33 and verse 9. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that a pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door. And this is a representation of the presence of God. It stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. So here's the promises that I want to give you. Write this down with me. I want you to write this down first. Number one, God will meet you. He will meet you. Listen to me. I guarantee it that if you will purpose to honor God, do something different maybe than you've ever done, get connected with the move of the body of Christ, that I promise you, God will meet you in that place. He will absolutely show up and you will have an encounter. That cloud, like the Old Testament described, that spirit, it will meet you in your quiet place. And I'll prove it to you because of what the Bible says. Check it out right here. The Bible says in James 4:8, I so love this scripture. Come near to God and he will, go ahead and say those words, he will come near to you. But check it out because I just love it. I just love it. Welcome to the New Testament. Go ahead and wash your hands. Purify your hearts. Do your part. He said, do you not perceive it? Come and meet with me. I want to meet you there, but you got to do your part because this is a relationship. It's just like when Jesus met that woman caught in adultery and everybody wanted to stone her to death. And then Jesus said, those of you that have no sin, go ahead and start throwing rocks. And all of a sudden everybody leaves. And then he asked the question, like, where are your accusers now? She's like, I guess they're all gone. And then he said these words. He said, neither do I accuse you or condemn you. And then he says, go and sin no more. Do you not perceive it? Do something different. Do something with purpose in your heart. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. One more. Romans 8:17. I love those who love me. And watch this. And those who seek me diligently, they find me there. This is a promise from our God. He will meet you there. Last promise as we're closing, that God will speak. I think it's important for you to understand that God will speak in your life. I don't know what your history is, church background is, or whatever. And I'm like super, super always, I never want to freak people out. I just want to be real about God and real about the fact that we're real and normal. So I hope this doesn't come across as awkward, but I just want to boldly say that God is still speaking. He has something to say to you. And he does it certainly through his word, but I'm going to tell you something. God will meet you in that quiet place, and he will speak to you in ways that you've never even heard before. He will do things in you that you've never seen before. He will move in your heart like you've never felt before. God will speak to you. Now let's go to our scriptures as we close. Matthew 11:15, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have the ears? Will you purpose to get outside of the normal and do something different and be a part of the body of Christ and the family?